I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. I've been lucky and been able to travel a lot. One place that's long been on my bucket list to visit, Antarctica. I'm not the only one, apparently. These days, tourists are streaming there by the thousands. But Antarctica is a very fragile place. Every trip there has an impact, which makes me wonder if I should rethink going. Should anyone go to Antarctica? That's a question our Livable Planet desk is going to try to answer now. Here's reporter Alan Yu of station WHYY in Philadelphia.
Sherry Art has been all over the world. Borneo, Mongolia, Nepal, but Antarctica was life-changing.
I always say when people ask me about Antarctica that it's like the closest you can get to leaving this planet. This was the first place ever that I had been where clearly people were not in charge.
It's likely that no human set foot on Antarctica until at least the 1820s. A century later, people had still barely begun exploring it. Even today, with 40 permanent research stations and dozens of ships plying its waters in the summertime, Art says she was struck on her visit last year by how untouched it still felt.
It was the wildlife that owned this land. One of my best days on Earth was being able to just sit on the beach and king penguins would just walk right up to you. Like, and the stiller you sat, pretty soon you get surrounded by them.
There were something like 60,000 penguins all waddling around and squawking. And then there's the ice. Antarctica, as we know it, is almost completely covered in ice, and it's a huge part of the drama of being there. The sight and sound of icebergs breaking apart can be unforgettable. And Sherry Art, who's a travel blogger, says part of her wishes everyone could experience what she did.
I wish everyone could see it once, somehow, and have that feeling of being in a place where humans aren't in charge, because I think that's a really wonderful feeling.
But she says the other part of her isn't so sure.
I want people to go to Antarctica, and I don't.
Because when you do see Antarctica, it's hard to ignore how climate change is affecting the place and the whole planet. And as a visitor, you contribute to that crisis and to melting that huge block of ice. By one count, a two-week trip from the US to Antarctica produces 25 tons of carbon pollution, the very stuff that's causing the atmosphere to warm up. And there are lots of visitors to Antarctica these days, about 40,000 tourists a year, and more than 4,000 scientists and support staff. Last year, Art's tour leader took his ship to an Antarctic island. He'd been going there for decades. Usually in tourist season, the quickest route to the island would be blocked by ice. But this time, it was so warm that the ice had melted and the ship could go straight through.
And when you hear someone say that, that's one of those like, uh-oh moments.
Climate change can be this abstract, distant problem we hear about on the news. But now, Art was seeing its effects right in front of her. It created a sort of moral dilemma.
I have another level of it as a writer where I'm kind of making it worse because then I come back and I write about these places and I get people excited about going there and I'm even perpetuating the problem even more.
Many of the scientists who go to Antarctica feel a similar sort of pressure. Heather Lynch has been there many times, and she says that each of these trips racks up what she calls a big carbon debt.
All of us, scientists included, come back every year in debt, and we spend the rest of the year repaying that debt.
Lynch says she helps repay that carbon debt through her research. She's a professor of ecology and evolution at Stony Brook University in New York, and she and her colleagues study how climate change is affecting penguins. And here's a twist. To do that, they actually depend on tourist ships to ferry them back and forth for free.
We would have to spend, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year just on paying for those trips.
So instead, she gives onboard lectures about her work. Tourists, in turn, sometimes help scientists by collecting air samples or sending in photos of whales. So science and tourism have forged kind of an alliance in Antarctica. but it's an alliance that just builds that carbon debt. And there's another impact to consider when humans go to Antarctica.
When we're standing there and we have snot running out of our nose and cells coming off our body.
Justine Shaw is a conservation scientist at the University of Queensland in Australia.
Technically, it's pollution in Antarctica because we're introducing bacteria and viruses that have never been there.
Almost all tour operators follow strict protocols about contaminants, down to detailed instructions for how to wash your boots every time you get on and off the ice. But Shaw says even with careful guidelines, humans can introduce things like flies and invasive weeds that have taken full advantage of warming temperatures.
The easy thing to do would be just to say, everyone, put down your tools, put down your toys and walk away, let Antarctica do its thing. But that's not going to happen.
Scientists need to go to Antarctica to study everything from climate change to astrophysics. And Shaw agrees that tourism plays an important role.
No tourist goes to Antarctica and comes back and says, oh yeah, it's not that great.
Shaw says everyone who goes there is moved by its beauty and uniqueness and comes to understand what a risk climate change is to the place. Some visitors even make a pledge to advocate for its protection. That's what happened on Sherry Art's expedition. But does visiting Antarctica really change what people do when they get back? Are those impacts really worth it?
That's sort of it's the existential question, I think, with conservation in general.
That's Robert Powell. He's a professor of parks and environmental ethics at Clemson University, but he used to be a guide in Antarctica. As an academic, he surveyed tourists before trips to Antarctica, immediately after, and then a few months later.
Tourists intended to change behaviors and to really follow through on being an ambassador.
Powell says they were inspired to donate to groups that protect Antarctica and avoid products that harm the environment. But later, once they've slid back into their regular lives...
In a lot of cases, folks just fall into their everyday patterns.
Powell found no significant overall change in behavior. But he says a few dramatic examples do stand out. Like the pastor of a megachurch whose trip to Antarctica inspired him to start a national campaign to get evangelical Christians to act on climate change.
It's not going to be everyone, right, that's going to have that extreme of a reaction. But we hear many people that have changed careers and really have these sort of epiphanies on these trips.
Powell says those experiences are important, that a trip to Antarctica can turn tourists into advocates. But does it ultimately balance out? Does tourism help or hurt Antarctica? Powell admits that for that essential question, there's just no easy answer. For The World, I'm Alan Yu.
A special thanks to travel blogger Sherry Ott for helping out with Alan's story.